do want to bring greetings in Jesus' name this morning. It's a blessing. It's a privilege to be in God's house one more time this side of eternity. The freedom to do this, I think too often I take for granted because this is all I know. This is all I've ever known since I was born, that we could go to church on Sunday and be a part of God's family. Until I realized that there's brothers and sisters across the world that don't have this privilege. They meet in secret. They have to take some pretty creative precautions sometimes to get together and worship. But do I take my blessings like this and appreciate it fully, what God has given to me? And I hope that's what you are here this morning to worship together. It's good to be with you all, and we bring greetings too from Union Valley. It's we're not quite at the North Pole. some people think that when they hear where we're from, it's like you can't even get there from here, but you can. It's the road goes both ways. Our church is not much bigger than y'all. We have we have right around 80 to 85 people in congregation, so it's a little bit, but we're out of the loop, so to speak, as you have gotten used to that here, I think. But we appreciate being together and to be able to worship. And so anytime you want to take a 2-hour drive up north, it's not that far. And right now, actually, it's a kind of a nice time of year. If you like the watching the leaves change color, we have a lot of trees in our area too. So we feel privileged to live in an area where a lot of people go to vacation or relax, get away from the stress of it all. We get to live there year round. So it's a beautiful place in God's country. Northeast Pennsylvania. Appreciate what Brother Matt had to bring from Proverbs. I think about guarding our hearts is a duty or a battle. I'm going to say it's a battle that you never can let up on, really. It's a full-time job to be on guard. To As God's children, we have a special mark on us that Satan wants to try and destroy us. And to guard our hearts, like Solomon encouraged and warned his son, his students, the ones he was speaking to, and he's speaking to us today, that's our duty as God's children to continually feed on God's word. That is where true health lies. You know, you see a lot of people putting a lot of time and effort into their physical bodies, into a tremendous amount of eating the right food and getting lots and lots of exercise, building the muscles, and not negating we do need to be good stewards of the bodies that God has given us. But when our focus, our emphasis is solely on that and not worrying about eternity, where I think a lot of people do, they think that if I can stay healthy, I put this off, put death off as long as possible. They don't want to face the reality of death. That's where we need to come back to God's word, realizing that this is where we need to stay focused. finding that balance, that's a struggle, finding balance in life, balancing the everyday duties, everyday life, the struggles, and trying to be that example to those around us of what it means to be a child of God. Last week at home talked about Gideon, and a lot of you remember that story of how Gideon was chosen by God to be the judge there in Israel before the kings. And Gideon's at first unwillingness to do the work, do the job that God called him to, but how God blessed him as he obeyed and performed a miraculous victory over their enemies in the battle against the Midianites. It's amazing what God can do through one or a few, you know, to get the job accomplished. I see that in potential for each one of us as we allow him to work through us. But again, it comes back to our obedience to do what he has called us to. This morning, I want to look at a New Testament man. I like these character studies because it helps me to realize that the ones that God put, the people that he mentions in the Bible by name, were human just like you and I. They really weren't anybody special. It was just that God did some amazing things through these people because of their obedience to his call. And this one is a familiar one to most of us, again, is Barnabas. You can turn to Acts. We're going to be jumping around in Acts a little bit, but starting out in Acts 4. Barnabas was an exhorter, and actually that's what part of the meaning of his name was. There's a verse in Hebrews 3, a challenge to us, and I think so much for us today. Hebrews 3:13 says, "But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened but through the deceitfulness of sin." And part of that exhorting is these meetings, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, throughout the week as we meet each other. We need to be exhorting. What does that exactly mean? The dictionary says, to urge earnestly by advice, by warning, to do what is proper or required, admonish strongly. And I think you would agree too that in our day and age it seems like a lot of people are being taken in by the deceitfulness of sin, the lies that Satan has out there. A lot of people are being deceived. And if it were not for God's grace, God's mercy, and his word, that's where I would be too. It's because of his blessings to me, allowing me to be part of God's family, part of his family, be able to meet together with fellow believers. And being able to be exhorted, being able to be admonished, because you can be that exhorter or you can be exhorted. You're going to be one of those at any point in time. There's times where I need to be straight up told that what I am doing is not right. And a lot of times, sometimes these situations are not pleasant to be in. There's times when I know I need to talk to somebody, and it's not a pleasant situation. They're doing things that in the long run are going to be harmful to them and to other people, and or to other people. But I need to be that Barnabas. He was also known as the Son of Consolation. There's another part of his name. Consolation is being consoling or being consoled. Give comfort. A person or thing that consoles. So it was somebody that I see Barnabas, as I study this, I see him as a, he was a one that had both of these qualities in measure. I think he did really well, both saying the hard things, but doing it in a gracious spirit. And that's a huge key too. There's people out there that can tell you the truth, and it's the truth. And yet they don't think about maybe the way it's going to be received when they present it without that sense of love, that sense of caring. They just let you have it with both barrels, so to speak, and let the pieces fall. Where I think Barnabas was one of those that could give the hard truth, but it was received well because people knew that he really cared. Barnabas was, according to, well, okay, let's go to Acts 4, introduces him here in verses 36 and 37. This was as the new church, Jesus had left the earth, the Holy Spirit had come, and the new church was just beginning. And we have examples of people coming and bringing tithes and offerings, and people selling their possessions, giving the money to the church. And here Barnabas is introduced. His name was Joseph, it's the King James says. Verse 36 says, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which being interpreted as the son of consolation. He was also a Levite and lived in the country of Cyprus, which incidentally was an island just to the west of Israel. Verse 37 says, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So he was a Jew. He was, historians say he was, would have been part of the dispersion of the Jews, way back when they would have been spread out over time, and he ended up living in Cyprus. I don't know that. I've wondered already if he ever came in contact with Jesus, because he would have been several years younger, 10, 15 years younger maybe than Jesus, but I wondered if he would have ever got to see Jesus while he was on earth. I don't know that there's any recorded story of that, but interestingly, he didn't actually live in Israel, and yet he was a Levite, which they would have, their duties were part of working in the temple. There was high priests and Levites, and as a Levite, he would have been in charge of working, doing some of the behind the scenes work, so to speak. Maybe not the things that are most visible, but again, a man that I believe did his job well. And of course, at that time, the temple was, living in Cyprus, he didn't have a lot of duties at the Jerusalem temple, I believe. Just a little bit of example from him. just this little story of him bringing his money. Remember the story just prior to that of the couple that unfortunately had chosen to give a false display of what they wanted to do for the church, and what happened to Ananias and Sapphira. Barnabas was one that wanted to give all that he had to bless the church. Proverbs 3:9 says, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and the first fruits of all thy increase." So an example here of Barnabas giving his tithes and offerings, so to speak, to the Lord's work. He was willing to give the material blessings. There's a story in the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record the incident where the rich young ruler came to Jesus and asked him how he could attain eternal life, and Jesus said, "Keep the commandments." And the young man proudly said that from little on up, I've kept the commandments. And Jesus said, "One thing you lack. Go sell all that you have and give to the poor and come follow me." And unfortunately, that young man that at that point went away sorrowful, it says in the Gospels. Some have ventured a guess that possibly that might have been Barnabas. We don't know that for sure. But is it possible that rich young ruler changed his mind later on and became a disciple of the Lord? We hope so, but an incident there, an example of, at that point, that rich young ruler was not willing to let go of his material wealth. Challenge for me today: am I living life with an open hand? Am I willing to give when God tells me? It's just not the money that I have, the house that I have. It's many times throughout life, it's more often the time. God has given each of us 24 hours in a day, and sometimes it feels like it's 24 hours isn't enough. But am I willing to give a few minutes here and there? And a lot of times it seems to me like God calls for that time, and I feel like I don't have one more minute to give him, to give to somebody. I've got way too many things to do. That's when the real test comes. Am I willing to give when God asks? Barnabas was a prophet, according to Acts 13. He was listed there among the prophets and teachers of the church at Antioch. He did quite a bit of work there with the Christians, which incidentally, too, I found interesting. At Antioch, that was where the believers were first called Christians. Little Christ, little examples of Jesus Christ. It says, "Now there were in the church," that word Antioch, this is Acts 13:1, "contained prophets and teachers, and Barnabas and Simeon," that was called Niger, "and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manannin," which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, "and Saul." These were a few of the leaders of the early church that were given the responsibility to go out and to start the work in other places, which him and Paul did a lot of that. He was an apostle, according to Acts 14:14. And probably one of maybe the most memorable parts of Barnabas' life is when he he stuck up, for lack of a better term, he stuck up for Paul. Saul at that point, Saul was converted. Saul became a believer after his vicious attacks on the early church. He was a witness at Stephen's stoning. And from then on, he was determined to snuff out this new sect of people that believed in Jesus Christ. He felt like it was his duty as part of the Jewish leadership to take care of these insurrectionists or people that were going against the old law. And because of that, his reputation spread far and wide as a murderer, he was very devout in his work. He believed that he was doing the right thing, killing off the new Christians. And we know that, remember the story of his conversion on his way to Damascus. And then the Lord asked Ananias to go and to meet with him. And we know the hesitancy of many of the Christians at that point, and I'm sure we would be the same today if we find out that somebody that was viciously against us as believers, and all of a sudden we hear that allegedly he's become one of us. It'd be hard to understand or believe, maybe. Hard to trust. Is he just doing this to get inside information and to get more people in trouble? But Barnabas was one that believed. He truly believed that Paul's conversion was authentic. And you think about, imagine what could have been different if Barnabas hadn't stuck up for Paul, if he hadn't been the one that helped the others accept Paul. Would have Paul's life been different? Would have the work, the early church work, been different? God's ways are so much higher than ours. But again, the challenge for each one of us, when God tells us to do something, it's in everybody's best interest to obey that call. Barnabas was Holy Spirit filled. In Acts 11, it talks about that. He was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost. And he was also Acts 11:23 specifically says about his gift of exhortation. He was humble and sympathetic. And I think that humility comes out in the history as you watch. You know, Barnabas was there. I really believe that he was there at the beginning of the church. And till it ended up, I think it was Acts 16, if I remember right, where that's the last mention of Barnabas in the book of Acts. And yet Paul goes, it's the rest of the book of Acts is pretty much all about Paul and what he was able to do and accomplish through God's power. So I see Barnabas's humility in allowing someone else to go ahead of him and to become. From a human standpoint, it looked like Paul exceeded Barnabas by a large degree. But I don't think that, I really truly believe that it did not bother Barnabas, because he was that humble leader that was willing to, he saw the big picture, I believe. He knew what the Christian life was all about, I believe. His loyalty is shown in Acts 9. And his trustworthiness, again, back in Acts 11. There was an unfortunate incident where him and Paul parted ways because of Paul's unwillingness to give another young man a second chance, John Mark. But Barnabas was willing to give John Mark that second chance. And as some of you remember later on, then that Paul realized that it was Barnabas had done the proper thing, and he admitted that John Mark was one that deserved that second chance. And he proved himself. I believe that John Mark proved himself later on. Even though he failed the first time, he couldn't take the pressure, whatever it was, that he went back to Jerusalem during one of Paul and Barnabas' missionary journeys. So as I said before, Barnabas was a part of the leadership. He did. He was a leader at the Antioch church. He did quite a bit of work there between him and Paul. He was a missionary. He was determined, I believe, in his work, in his life, to be an asset to the growing church of the first century. So for us today, how can we apply that to, how can we be a modern day Barnabas? We did talk a little bit about some of the things, but for us, one of the things I see in, especially in our culture, in America today, there is a desperate need to be an encourager, to be somebody that, in spite of all the negative news that is out there, and that's unfortunately the things that are on the radio, on the web, it seems like the negative news is the hot seller, unfortunately. If it's the worse it is, the more attention it gets. But we need to, as God's children, we need to be that encourager to all those around us. It's not just here. This is a good place to start. It's good practice. But as we go out, as we meet with our neighbors and our coworkers and the customers that we come in contact with throughout the week, we need to be looking for ways to be an encourager. There's a lot of people that don't know where to turn. They don't know who to trust. Trust is a very big thing, and it seems like the closer we get to the end, it's really, really difficult to know who to trust. So that's where a great opportunity for you and I to be a one that tells the truth, one that lives the truth, and that can be somebody that is dependent on to, you know, have a neighbor that isn't a believer, but he's going to be watching me. He's going to be watching you. He's going to see, what does God look like? And this is your chance to show him what God looks like in skin. You know, and in order to be an encourager, to be a true encourager, we obviously must be born again. We need to have Jesus Christ in our life, the Holy Spirit directing us. And that's where the wisdom of Proverbs comes out in life and through the Spirit. Because a lot of times we need that, the Spirit's direction to give us the right words at the right time. And we meet that neighbor that's lost a loved one to a tragedy, whatever it might be, or maybe somebody that you've known for a while just went through a terrible financial struggle. whatever it might be, I don't, you know what that is. You know those people out there that are desperately looking for hope. But as we listen to the Spirit, we exhibit the fruits of the Spirit from Galatians 5. Because of the Spirit, I'm going to have that willingness to listen, even though it's going to take more time than what, from a human standpoint, I don't have the time to stand there and listen to this person's problems. And yet, because of my love for the Lord and His direction, it's going to give me that mercy, that grace to listen. Be available. Be trustworthy. Be loyal. Don't be lazy. Be willing to steer a straying soul back to the right path. Be honest. This takes a tremendous amount of work and a tremendous amount of time. But in light of eternity, it's not even a blip on the screen. But you can. You can have a tremendous impact. Even though it might, those few minutes that you took to listen, you know, you don't even think about that later on, but someday in eternity you might realize what great impact you had. Just as the example of the little slave girl in the Old Testament that told her mistress about God, and because of that, her master Naaman was healed of his leprosy. Andrew, Jesus' disciple, told Peter about Jesus. And later on, remember, Peter preached a sermon that saved 3,000 souls in one day. More modern example, a Sunday school teacher visited Dwight Moody in the shoe shop where he worked and told him about Christ, and Moody became a world-renowned evangelist. Hudson Taylor said yes unreservedly to God, and more than 1,200 missionaries have gone forth to China under the banner of China Inland Mission. It can happen again. That verse I read at the beginning about from Hebrews, Matthew Henry says, "We should be doing all the good we can to one another while we are together, which will be but a short and uncertain time." I think you would agree that we are living in uncertain times. Someone else has put it this way: since tomorrow is none of ours, we don't know that we, none of us are, you've heard this again and again, but it's true. We get used to hearing it and don't take it serious maybe sometimes, but it says, since tomorrow is none of ours, we must make the best improvement of today while today lasts. The day of grace before the coming of the day of glory and judgment at Christ's coming. Tomorrow, this got me. Tomorrow is the day when idle men work and fools repent. Tomorrow is Satan's today. He cares not what good resolutions you form, if only you fix them for tomorrow. Tomorrow is the day when idle men work and fools repent. Today, as the Bible says, today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. Don't put off those things that God has been speaking to you about. Take the example of Barnabas. Be that one that sticks up for Paul. And be that encourager. Because that's part of our job as God's children here today. That's part of building the church, giving hope to those around us. And it also, I think, as we encourage others, it does encourage us to keep on. Let's bow for prayer. Lord, we thank you again for your goodness to us and allowing us to be in your house this morning. We thank you for the beautiful weather outside and for, again, the reminder of your power, your timing. You have everything in control. As you've promised in your word that as long as the earth remains, we will have seed time and harvest. And we see that again this year, and we thank you for that. We thank you for how that you direct, that you have our best interest in mind, and we so many times, because of our short-sightedness, because of my plans, because of the things that I want to do, that I neglect the better things, the best things that you want. Lord, help us each to have a renewed desire to do those things that you've called us to as your children, as you give us opportunities time and time again, that we can be an encourager to those around us. We can be that salt that makes someone thirsty for you. Help us to be your disciples, the ones that draw others to you. Help us also to realize that time is short and that we need to do the work now. We need to direct others to you. We need to point others to salvation. Help us to be trustworthy and loyal and humble. We give you the praise and the honor for it. We just ask for your will to be done through the Sunday school hour this, and that you would bless each of the teachers that have prepared for the lesson today. Thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.